It's wonderful to see God work. And I'm so excited to be here. This is my first time on campus, and I've enjoyed actually eating breakfast with some of you and interacting, and I appreciate your good spirit and kindness to me. Young people, you don't have a local church that's doing something for the Lord or a college that's doing something for the Lord without behind the scenes somebody walking with God and paying the price that you can have what you have. So I want to direct our attention today to a couple of verses of Scripture that deal with a prayer promise given to Jeremiah. And if you would, the servant's prayer promise. And I hope it's helpful to you. I actually intended to preach a completely different message, and the Lord just really wanted me to spend some time here. So let's do that together. I'm going to read the verses one more time if you have them there. Jeremiah 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. And then we all know this verse, Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's go ahead and pray again. Could we hear? Lord, just bless and give grace. Lord, I really don't need you to bless my message, but I sure appreciate if you bless yours. And God, use it in Jesus' name. Amen. I come from Winchester, Virginia, and it's on the top of Interstate 81. During the Civil War, Winchester changed hands between 60 and 70 times. It was almost like a volleyball going back and forth. And because of that, there's a great, great interest in there in reenactment. How many of you have ever been involved or seen reenactment? Anybody? Oh, yeah, wow, look at that. Well, with that area comes people that are always out there searching for something. Okay, we have found this, we have found that. When I first came there to pastor, I had somebody sort of excited because what they had found, that I thought, oh my, did they find gold? Did they find silver? What did they find? And they come up and it was like, preacher, do you see these bullets? And it was like, oh my. And I realize that I'm sort of dealing with a little bit of a different group of people when it comes to what they value, but they enjoy that. Well, if you would, in this passage, we have something given to us that sort of dug up out of the earth, and it's the prayer promise of verse number 3. Many of you maybe have used this promise. You've prayed this back to the Lord. And I'd like for a moment, if I could, just to set context just a little bit. In this particular passage here, Jeremiah is in prison in the courtyard. We'll find him later on down in cisterns or in a place where there's deep mire where he's being held. He is there because he has preached faithfully the fact that the Babylonians were going to overtake the city and that the king would be put into prison himself. And the king didn't like it, put Jeremiah in prison, and here he is. He's in prison, and he's not put in prison there because of the Babylonians. He's put in prison there because of his own people, because he's been faithful to preach what God would have him preach. Literally, at this point, the city is about or in the process of being overrun. He is still imprisoned, and it's at this moment that God gives him this great promise. I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about this man who in the previous chapter had told the Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And the Lord has told him back to himself, Jeremiah, you said there is nothing that is too hard for me. And now here Jeremiah is, and I want you to understand the context now of the verse. The verse that's given him to this prayer promise is when everything is falling apart. Hard, terrific. And in that particular situation, he is doubting. He's wondering what's happened. I want to pause and just say, it's all right to walk with the Lord in faith. And as you do that, don't beat yourself up if there are times that you have doubts. If there's times that you're honest and you're vulnerable in your walk with God, it doesn't mean that you've abandoned your faith. It means that you're a human being that has trusted Christ, trying to walk through the landmines of this world, being faithful to the Lord, but yet not understanding everything God allows. Here Jeremiah is, the current crisis that he's facing. He's been betrayed, if you would, by his own king. His own ministry, that's the ministry God gave him to be faithfully proclaiming as a prophet the word of God. And it's as it were, his ministry is cast back into his face, not appreciated. All of that's happening, and as it's happening, I relate to that as pastoring all of these years when I find there are times that things come into the lives of people and they get this illusion because they never thought that things could get this bad in their life. And the reason I'm sharing this is here you are, you're preparing, you're going to go out into God-called ministry, and you're going to have some things settled about what you believe about your God and what you believe about the Word of God, if it's going to anchor you when you get out into tough times. It was December 20th, 1920. I remember 2 days before that eating at a restaurant, and I began to get sick and sicker and sicker. And December 20th, I entered into Winchester Medical Center. Little did I know that I would be there 5 days and 10 days and 15 days and 20 days, getting worse and worse. I carry with me now long-term COVID. I remember talking with the doctor about my condition and her shaking her head because she was trying to be kind, because she really didn't know if I would live. Then it was 20 days and 25 days, and then it was 30 days, and then 35 days, and then 40 days. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I can barely call my wife and call her and say, I know you don't want to do this, but I need you to get a piece of paper and a pencil. It's time. I want you to deal with my funeral this way. And then it was 45 days, and then it was a ventilator, and then 50 days, and finally after 60 days, God just turned everything around. During that time, though, as I could do nothing but read the scripture, God gave me some promises in the midst of all of that. And it was life-changing to me. It's interesting in this passage, it says that the word came to him while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. You hear me, no matter where you are, what happens in your life, they can never lock God out from you. They can never lock God out. Nothing can lock him out. No situation you face now or then will keep God at bay. God is not bound in your situation. I have learned over the years to try to make God my first response. Often, as I've done, even being here on campus, when I meet someone new or you meet someone new, we walk up to them and they put out their hand. You don't have to stop and think, well, should I shake their hand? Is that what I should do? We do it automatically. It's an automatic response. Would that the Lord would allow us to bring that kind of automatic response into our lives when we face burdens and heartaches. Very often the first response is to pull out the cell phone and call this person and this person, sharing with them what has happened in our life. In this particular passage, if you would, prayer is given to Jeremiah as a tool. Oh yes, prayer is praise and prayer is thanks. And prayer is worship. Prayer is asking, but here prayer is given to him as a tool, something in his life that he would use again and again. And I've multiplied millions have used as we've looked to this verse of scripture. This tool prayer right here is tied, if you would. It's a tool of fellowship tied to the very heart of God. Prayer ought to be the earthly workshop in your life that addresses the very gates of heaven. Prayer is working with God to fulfill his will in this passage. Notice, if you would, verse number 3, call unto me, the privilege in prayer. In the midst of all of this, God comes to Jeremiah and gives him an invitation. An invitation, if you would, that's full of the love of God and the care of God, even in this particular hard situation. It's a verse that comes and calls Jeremiah, as the very verses of prayer in the scripture call to each one of us, to learn the ministry of prayer. You're at a place of learning. I heard that at breakfast as I was asking, so what's the hardest classes you have? I'm not going to tell what they told me, all right? I'm going to leave that there. But can I say to you that I believe, my opinion is that the greatest lesson you can leave this college with is to learn how to walk with God. Learn how to abide in him. It will help your marriage. It will help your ministry with everything else you're getting. Please don't leave here without cultivating a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've had 4 assistant pastors, not because I've run them all off, but I've had 4. And what I have told them is this: while you're here, you can go behind the scenes and you can do it easy. You can cheap out, as it were, on it. Or you can pay the price and learn how to study the Word of God. You can pay the price and learn how to be a servant. Pay the price. Why? Because there is a prepared place for a prepared man. And there's a prepared place for a prepared woman. Pay the price while you're here. Do it right, because it will give you benefit after benefit when you step out of those doors. I want you to notice, if you would, verse number 3 again, this great, great prayer promise. This great prayer promise has a background. I have on my iPad a beautiful picture of a tree in my yard that flowers. It's absolutely beautiful. One evening, the sun was dropping and the tree was silhouetted, if you would, in that evening sunset, and I took a picture of it. But what really makes the tree is the backdrop around it. In verse number 3, what really makes verse number 3 is the background, the backdrop of verse number 2. It's verse number 2 that we have these titles about our God. He is the maker. He is the former, the one that's formed everything. He is the one that's established everything. And then it says, the Lord is his name. We have 2 things here, if you would, the attributes of God and the name of God. Understand that this prayer promise backs up on the background of who God is. And that backs up on verse number one, the revelation of God. God gives his word, and as God gives his word, he shares his attributes and he shares his character. And it's out of the attributes and character of God that we have prayer promises that we can anchor to the very heart of his person. Every place you go in the Word of God, every place that you find the prayer promise, behind it is the attributes and the character of the God that you serve. I'm here to tell you that precious, precious, precious are these verses. Sometimes God's people have always, in their worst conditions, found out the best about their God. I was at Bible college. I was married. I had three very small children. I'll never forget the day where we were low in finances. And as we were low in finances, I had to make a choice between either tithing or paying my water bill. And I was young and enthusiastic, and it was like, praise the Lord, we're just going to pay my tithe. God will take care of it. 6 days away from the water bill being paid, it's not paid, and 5 days and 4 days and 3 days and 2 days and 1 days, and the water bill is not paid. And I remember thinking, God, if you can't provide for me when I'm in Bible college, and I have a family here, how could I ever trust you to provide for me when I'm out there? And I'll never forget going through that process, and they shut our water off, and we're, again, three children, mom and dad here, and there was a first day, and the second day, and the third day, and I have three small children, and a wife looking at me, you made this decision. The fourth day, I'll never forget this. I went out to the mailbox, and there was a letter that had a check in it to take care of my water bill. The second day, dear brother, there was another letter. And the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day. You said, it can't be the seventh day. It was Sunday. I know that, but I went out and checked it anyway. And when I went out the seventh day, there was a card there that I had missed on the sixth day. And for 7 days, God rained checks upon us. And it just welded into my soul that I can trust the God of heaven to take care of me. Call unto me. There is a privilege, young people, in prayer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. There is a promise in prayer. Promises are the pledge of God's person and character to us. This promise came to Jeremiah, and he was in a time of complete inability, other than prayer. There was nothing he could do. This came to him in a time of complete brokenness. This came to him in a time, if you would, of failure. There are going to be times when you do everything that you can do and there's absolutely nothing left on the table. Can I say to you, when there's nothing left on the table, there's miracle space. God can work. You trust your God. You learn how to do it now. Learn how to walk with him now. My burden as I came down here was this simple truth, that I would encourage you and share with you this burden on my heart for you today, that you would learn that you can trust your God. I spend time in airports as you do, brother, and I'm so thankful for the handles now that they have on suitcases. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm not spry like you, and I love those handles on the suitcase. When I have a hold of the handle, I have all the contents in the suitcase. The promises of God are the handles on His Word and on His person. The promises of the Word of God bring everything that we have. The promise here that I can hold on to. I hear someone say, in their mind, but Pastor Steve, I don't have the gifts and abilities of some of these other people. I don't know if I can trust. I remember the story of a young man that was so excited about playing baseball. And he talked with everybody about baseball. And one Saturday, he planned, this coming Saturday, we're going to go down to the sandlot and we're going to play. He goes down to the sand lot, and he had gotten six other boys to come with him, and they had their mitts with them and their baseball bats. And he said, "Listen, I'm going to go ahead, and we're going to set up first base and second base and third base. They didn't have, so they made it somebody's hat, and that there was third base. I'm going to hit," he says, and he gets up there and pitches up the ball, and he swings, and there is nothing but air, and there's a few giggles. He tries it again, and he throws up the ball a little higher, and he swings, and again, there's nothing but air. So finally, he throws the ball really way up high and swings as hard as he can, and he misses. And from the outfield, he hears, "Well, you struck out, you struck out." And all of a sudden, he grabs the ball, and he tosses it, and this big smile comes across his face. And they said, "You just struck out. Why are you smiling?" He just said, "Today, I found out how great of a pitcher I really am." Listen, you can trust Him. God's promises. Call unto me provision, rather privilege and prayer. The promises of God, and I will answer thee. The promise in prayer, and I will show thee great and mighty things, provision in prayer. God invites Jeremiah to join with Him in what God already knows that He's going to accomplish. Actually, the fulfillment of this verse takes place when they come back at the end of the captivity. It takes place when Jesus comes Himself, born of a virgin, and walks among men. It takes place when He comes back at the end of the tribulation period and enter into the millennium and the eternal state. Do you know there are sometimes the promises that God gives us, He answers immediately and moves in our lives. But do you know there are other promises that people grab a hold of that God gives them through a period of time? The greatest example I could give you is the school. He says right here, notice it, "I'll show thee great and mighty." I want you to notice the word "mighty" there. The word "mighty" is actually the word "hidden" or "inaccessible." God says, "I'm going to show you, Jeremiah, things that you can't access right now. I'm going to show you things that will be coming to you, as it were, in the future." In our lives, there are times that we're seeking God about something, and it just doesn't turn right. It doesn't turn true, and we continue to pray. Understand that sometimes God answers some of our prayers as you grow and mature in your Christian life, as you continue to exercise your gifts. You found out God has answered through your very consistency and faithfulness in your Christian life, and He opens door after door for you. Right here, what was inaccessible concerning the plan of God for Israel, only the Lord knew. And yet God begins to unlock those things one step at a time. "I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." There is provision in prayer. So let me ask you, let's just, as it were, where the rubber meets the road here. What is it you need right now? What is it? Is it finances? Is it health issues? Where is it? I'm talking with a pastor this week who is struggling greatly in his mind. There's provision for that. Where is it that you need God to work? God wasn't going to pray this prayer himself. He gave it to his people to pray. The handles of prayer that God wants to move and answer things in your life, he's asking you to interact with him on. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have something that you're developing, that you're getting to know the God that you serve? I challenge you, after almost 40 years of ministry, to hang your life on the promises of God. Hang your life on the promises of God. I got out of school, in all honesty, I expected to pastor 40 people, and that's fine, and that's awesome. And I so respect men that God has called, and you're able to do that, and you're able to be faithful where God's called you. I found myself in weakness and tried to be contrite before my God. I've tried. And there's something that I have found over the years. God has drawn to weakness. God has drawn to humility. God has drawn to weakness. Would you say that with me? God is drawn to, one more time, God is drawn to weakness. Call unto me, a privilege in prayer, and I will answer thee, a promise in prayer, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There is provision in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the moments and the time. Oh God, I pray that you would take your word, use it in our lives. Thank you that your promises are true. We can stand upon all that you are. In your precious name. Amen.